Zebedee. He looks around at the nets that they were just mending a few moments ago. No sons all of a sudden to do the work with him. The day laborers staring at Zebedee, wondering what to do next now that his two sons have left. He realizes he has to go home and tell his wife, "Hey, babe, our sons have left now and they're gone off to follow Jesus." "What do you mean? They just up and left, Zeb?" "Well, they have a lot of catching up tomorrow when they get back then." Zeb says, "Hey, honey, I don't think they will be coming back tomorrow. I think it's going to be a while." "Like a week?" she asks. "Maybe longer." "Longer than a week?" she asks with fear in her voice. Zebedee is afraid for the family business and for the loss that his wife is experiencing. You see, Zebedee had inherited a boat and the love of fishing from his own father. And he'd built his business into something now that could be proud of. He and his sons could share in this new adventure. He'd made enough money in his fishing business to buy another boat and hire some day laborers who came to work and help out. He was somebody who was contributing to his community, somebody who was expanding the base of income for a lot of people and feeding people. He was able to expand his sales territory as a result, and he was known throughout the Galilee for providing good local food at a good, reasonable price. Now, every day, you see, at the end of a fishing day, especially when you're catching with nets, there are some leftovers. Not everybody gets a fish or pays for a fish. Some fish, maybe an eel or two, he'd pack up for his walk home so that his family could eat too. But he also knows the houses and the shacks along the way and the people who don't even own a shack, but who have a little fire pit outside where they cook. And he stops to drop off some of the leftover fish for them too, because otherwise the fish will just go to bad. For these people, generally the widows and the orphans, there is really no source of income for them. They depend on the kindness of strangers. And he takes no payment, but he does take a smile and a thank you. Sometimes they even offer him a loaf of bread that they've been able to make, and he accepts their gifts in trade with a nice smile back in return. Early on, you see, Zebedee's sons went with him on these stops when they were little kids growing up and learning the business, and they seemed to enjoy hanging with their dad. But as they became teenagers, it annoyed them that their father would linger so long at these homes of the poor because they wanted to get home and play. And they began to make excuses to their father on the way home so that they could go on ahead of him. And eventually they stopped making excuses altogether. They just left the boat at the end of the workday and headed straight back to their house. Zebedee's sons, though, have known Jesus since they were in grade school. But Jesus has matured much faster than James and John. In fact, their names mean the sons of thunder. They're very impetuous boys. They have a lot of energy and passion. And Jesus has always been a leader amongst them, because Jesus has been confident and has strength and often stops by to talk with Zebedee at the end of the workday about God and about what God's up to in his life. He's even helped out with Zebedee's mending of the nets, but Zebedee often has to go back over Jesus' work. Even Zebedee continues to talk with Jesus so much so that he can't realize that Jesus can't focus on both mending a net and talking, so he realizes he has to go back over the work. He loves, though, what Jesus has to say about God. He speaks like they are one. He loves how Jesus advocates for the poor and those that nobody else brings up, who are pretty much everyone outside of Jerusalem. Zebedee's sons listen, too, in on their father's conversation with Jesus. Zebedee has begun to notice that now in their 20s and so forth, they have begun to work a little bit harder, have been more pleasant to be with, realize just how much their old man has grown up in the last 4 years, as Twain once said. And they have begun again to accompany Zebedee at the end of the day when he makes his walk amongst the homes of the poor. Sometimes he even sees James and John put aside a particular fish before the sales have even gone out, because certain widows love particular varieties and he wants to give them the best that he has. Zebedee has everything he wants in life. He's got a wife who loves him. He's got two sons in the fishing business who cares for and seem to enjoy being with him. These sons who could take over the family business and grow it one day into something that they could be proud of and that their sons could take part in. Then one day, this particular day, Jesus comes and says, "It's time. Well, let's go." And they just get up and they follow him. They leave Zebedee with kisses but no tears. They seem so happy and excited by this. And then they're gone. Zebedee asks himself, he can't help it, it's in his mind's eye, why are they so eager to go? Yeah, I mean, Jesus grew up with them, and I get it. You know, he's a rock star amongst the rabbis around the region, but maybe I didn't appreciate my sons enough. Maybe I should have gone on that adventure too. I mean, all I've done is just follow in my dad's footsteps. But I couldn't, even if I wanted to. You know, I have a wife, I have a couple of boats, I have a home, I have employees, I have poor widows, and those who depend on my excellent fish to feed their hungry families. You know, if I just get up and leave too, who's going to take care of all those folks? Who would feed my flock if I left? And the next day after the evening meal, Zebedee goes to see his rabbi, Josephus, because this still is nagging at him. He still feels like maybe he missed out on something and that maybe the rabbi, Josephus, can help him out. And he shares his thoughts and feelings of what it's like to feel your sons take off and start an adventure on their own. And he also says that he feels like maybe he missed out on something because he never took an adventure of his own. He shares his doubts about his own life and how he's lived it this far and the path that his sons are on. He worries about them. How are they going to make a living? Who's going to feed them? What happens when Jesus gets folks upset like he did in his hometown? Josephus tells him a story. Josephus says he too wishes that he could have followed Jesus, but he also has a wife and children. He also has responsibilities for a congregation, a school where he teaches the boys to read the Torah, and some of them actually can even memorize the first five books. And if I didn't do that, who would? He says to Zebedee. He tells Zebedee, God doesn't call everybody just to get up, leave work and family, and go somewhere else. No, sometimes people need to remember the need that they are needed and the importance of a Martha in life. Somebody has to feed other people. Somebody has to clothe other people. Somebody has to take care of other people, Josephus tells him. He asks Zebedee, what would it be like if he left the community? Zebedee smiles in agreement, gets the point, and he names all the reasons that Josephus cannot leave the community and all the reasons he's needed right where he is as the rabbi of that community. If there's no local rabbi, Zebedee says, who's going to perform the weddings? Who's going to do the funerals that mark these events in life? Who's going to lead the high holy days and give counsel to people who are perplexed about what God's will is for their lives? The words that Zebedee has just spoken, they come back to him now and to his own life. If the nets aren't mended, how will the workers fish and who will pay them? And if the fishing is abandoned, how will the people eat who can't fish, don't own a boat? You see, if it wasn't that Jesus didn't call Zebedee, it's that he called Zebedee to another kind of ministry. It's that Zebedee has been called to stay put where he is, to mend the nets where he is, to fish where he is, to feed the hungry people where he is. And the next day, Zebedee returns to work, fishing and mending his nets. He misses his son so much that his chest actually aches. It's as if he never knows for sure if they're coming back. They've not just gone off to college, so to speak. They've gone off for a lifetime. He also has a little envy in his heart for their adventure. But he knows that he has a calling too. It may not be glamorous. It may not make a gospel. He may not get all of the fine words that his sons are going to get. But he knows that he too is special in the eyes of God. His calling is to fish, to feed, to love, repeat. He goes home that night to his wife, and he stops along the way as he returns home to share food with the widows and with those that don't have anybody to take care of them. And he sees now what he does as God's gift to him. He sees it as a calling, just as important as the calling that his sons have received. Sometimes our calling is to stay put, folks, right where we find ourselves. Sometimes our calling is to love those people that are right around us right now. Sometimes our calling is to pray for those that we see every day and those that we may not see all that often. Sometimes our calling is to do right, to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God right where we are. And that, too, my friends, can be the adventure of a lifetime, too. And we know this because of a man named Zebedee. Amen.